What made you decide to run? Now, you're running against Morgan Griffith, who's sort of entrenched at this point. But what made you decide, Derek, that you want to run for Congress?
After 24 years of serving my country, I came back home. I had the unique opportunity. The Army sent me home to teach at Tech in Radford. And getting back into the culture of being home, where I had grown up, I began to see a lot of problems. And these problems and a lack that I felt of proper representation of actual people really motivated me and drove me to be much more active. And it was a motivation. It's the old joke that Tip O'Neill said that all politics is local. I take it a step further. I say it's extremely personal. If you don't take it personal, then you don't need to try to be a representative.
You know, for years, the Ninth was, you know, safely Democratic, Rick Boucher, and now Morgan Griffith, the Republicans in there. How do you get it back to where more people are willing to consider a Democratic candidate?
I'm trying to get people to look past the R's and the D's and recognize that we're all Americans first, that party is a secondary thing to that, and that we need to recognize that people need to represent people, not parties, not ideologies, and not businesses. And I think that's something that's sadly out of tune right now with my opponent. I feel that he represents more of his party than he does the people in the district, and I feel like people out in the district can't eat ideology.
Is there a particular thing with Morgan as far as you mentioned listening to people do you think in some ways maybe he's out of touch with his constituents?
I think he's extremely out of touch. I think he's afraid to be confronted by people that have differing opinions and ideas. Rick Boucher was really good about traveling the district, having open town halls, publishing meetings, sitting down with people of opposing ideas. And that's something that makes our country what it is today, is the two-party system that allows people to confront their leaders and have the opportunity to question them. Right now, he does everything he can to avoid any type of confrontation or any people of differing ideas. He loves to send staffers out, but there are certain counties that have never seen him, and I think that is an absolute travesty.
We're talking with Derek Kitts, 9th District candidate for Congress. One of the things that Morgan Griffith likes to talk about is the war on coal, and he blames the Obama administration for the war on coal and the dwindling jobs in the coal industry in far southwest Virginia, which is part of your territory. What's your take on that? I mean, other people will say that it's mainly market forces that is causing the coal market to dwindle. More natural gas is being used to power up plants and all that. What's your take on that? And what would you do, Derek, for some of those people who are losing their jobs?
Well, one of the biggest things we've realized that over the last few months, like this past month, we've driven over 5,000 miles traveling the district. And as we sit and listen and talk to people and get their concerns, what we begin to realize is that, yes, there's a problem with the coal industry right now, and we understand that. But we have to be supportive of the industries that we have. We need to be able to support because more than any other place in the state of Virginia, the people of Southwest Virginia are tied to the ground they walk. It's part of our identity. So any issues there were with coal, people took it as a personal attack upon their well-being. What Morgan has a tendency to do is he wants to misdirect everyone and make them talk about the louder things, the things in the – I like to talk about it in the sky. But I want to talk to people because this is a street fight. This is a street fight about putting food on the table, keeping the lights on. And all he wants to do is misdirect, lead people astray on this, and get them talking about other things that don't matter at this point. One of the biggest things I want to try to do is push an Appalachian telecom and infrastructure bill through. And what this would allow is for telecom companies to receive capital gains waivers and tax incentives to push technology into Southwest Virginia. And I mean this by cell phones, high-speed internet. I mean, there are counties right now. There are counties right now that I spoke down to. I was in Wise County yesterday, and the EMS signal doesn't even go all the way across the county. Buchanan County is the same way. Yet we've got a current congressman who will sit and scream about overburdensome regulation, yet he has counties that don't even have EMS signal all the way across. I just talked to a gentleman just this morning. I had breakfast with him, and he had issues that he tried to talk to Morgan Griffith, and Morgan Griffith did everything he could not to answer his questions or help him. And this man is a strong Republican, and yet Morgan wasn't willing to step in for him. These are the things that I think need to be brought forward. Infrastructure needs to be fixed. Education needs to be brought forward. They need technological companies need to involve themselves, and we need to show them incentives. You know, private companies aren't going to do anything unless they get an incentive to show them what they're going to benefit from, but to push technology into schools. Because if we build infrastructure, roads, high-speed internet, cell phones, and then we turn around and push whiteboards, tablets, and smart boards into schools, the jobs will come. But until we have that foundation right now, it's going to be a problem because Southwest Virginia is in a transitional period, and that's the problem we need to push through, and we need to have strong answers and solutions, not just people talking about problems to misdirect to win elections.
We're talking with Derek Kitts, 9th District candidate for Congress. Are you willing to debate Morgan Griffith, and have you made the offer?
Oh, I'd love to have the opportunity to debate him. It's some things have come up. I know our staff's working on it, and I know some people have offered. I know there's been a couple of situations. We'll see. I don't think he's going to want to. I think he's going to be afraid because he's going to actually have somebody that's willing to confront him, to question him, who has a strong background in, you know, national defense, has been a patriot my entire life. You know, a highly decorated combat veteran that's willing to take the fight to him, and I don't think he has the gumption to stand up to that.
Let me ask you a question about the Middle East, since you were in Afghanistan and in Iraq, correct?
Yes.
What's your take on that whole thing, Derek? Should we be getting out of there? Should we be beefing up what we're doing there, our presence? What's your take on where we're at right now in the Middle East?
Well, I have to preface this. My oldest girl just got back from Iraq. She's also a soldier. She's a staff sergeant with the teaches airborne school at Fort Benning, Georgia. The biggest problem we have is people try to put a Western standard on a Middle Eastern culture. There is no easy answer. I would be remiss to sit here and try to put a simple solution onto it, and there's no good way to go through it. I mean, I wish there was.
You know, one theory is that they see the issue of what they're fighting for, is a whole different issue than what we're fighting for. We're almost like they're fighting Western civilization and our way of life versus us trying to bring peace to the area.
Well, some things we got to understand is we try to put different standards on their cultures. That's more tribal driven. Those wars have been happening for a long time, and us being there, we have to work within the confines of their society to try to develop the democracies that we want to try to push forward. It's a very, very complicated situation. It's multi-layered, and there's no real easy way around it.
I know you said you want to go past party labels and appeal to independents and disaffected Republicans and whatever. But, Derek, would a strong turnout for Hillary Clinton at the presidential election help you in November if more people came to the polls?
You know, if more people come to the polls, doesn't matter. You know, any time that American citizens can be active and involved in an election, it's always a good thing for everyone. I don't think it matters. Like I said, I'm staying out of the political portion of the presidential part, and I think it's important that people be involved. I mean, I laugh about this. The other day I was walking in a parade. I was down in Rural Retreat at Heritage, Dr. Pepper Heritage Days, and I was walking behind her, and a guy looks up at me and he screams, "Is you a Republican or you a Democrat?" And I was like, "Well, sir, I'm an American, and I spent the last 24 years protecting your right to ask me that question, so you have a nice day."
Did he like that answer?
He did. He nodded, he laughed, and he shook his head, and a bunch of them laughed and shook their head because that's what we are first. When we're born, nobody's born with an R or a D next to their name. They're born as Americans, and that's the thing we need to get back to. Proper representation, appealing to the people. Southwest Virginia, more than anywhere else, is built on relationships, and I love Southwest Virginia. I was ecstatic when the Army gave me the opportunity to come back from Germany to live back home and to teach at Radford University and Virginia Tech. It was a dream come true because I can bring my daughter back, and I've got a 15-year-old at Christiansburg, and that was a unique opportunity that, you know, not everybody gets a chance to. I wanted to come back because it's that important.
Just for background, what are you teaching? What have you been teaching?
Well, I was teaching. I was in the non-commissioned officer in charge of the Army ROTC program at Radford University, but I retired specifically in November to run against Morgan. Because this is my home. And anytime somebody attacks your home or you don't feel represents your home, you're going to fight them every step of the way. And I felt that this needed to be picked up and taken to the battle. Because right now, we currently have a congressman who is absent and AWOL within the district, a ghost, if you will, who doesn't represent everyone and has failed to represent everyone since the day he was elected.
Last question for you, Derek, is if you're elected, what would be the – at the very, very top of your agenda list when you got into office next January?
I've got to push the infrastructure bill, because without infrastructure in Southwest Virginia, and I know some people in Roanoke County and Salem will say, well, that's not as big a deal, but the district succeeds and fails as a district. People need to understand that we've always been about relationships and people, about our neighbors. The biggest thing I want to try to do besides the infrastructure bill, but and this is something I need to drive home, is increase constituent services. The current congressman cut his budget by almost $400,000, bragged about it, published it, talked about how he's cut things down. Well, I want to do that is I want to use that money productively. I want to hire people to do nothing but recruit businesses in Southwest Virginia. I want to open an office in Martinsville because I want those people to know that somebody cares about them and we're willing to put a federal face on it. I'm going to open another office in Withfield. That's the intersection of 77 and 81. That should have had an office a long time ago. And I want to put one out in Lebanon because the coal fields need to know that they have representation and they have a place to go talk to their leaders. That's what being a representative is. And my opponent is seriously missing the mark on that and has become a corporate politician more worried about the politics and the business than the people.
Before I let you go, you wanted to talk about some of your travels and how you've been recording that.
Well, what we're trying to do, and we're starting this on our website and our Facebook, we're going to start a blog of 10,000 miles of kits. Just this past month, we're going to go over 5,200 miles. But the district extends from Martinsville all the way out to Pennington Gap in Lee County. Now, if you even drive part of that, that's about a 4.5 to 5 hour drive from one end of the district to the other. Take it all the way up to Allegheny, Covington, and Clifton Forge. But we got a kick out of this. Everywhere we go, we take pictures of every festival, everything that we do. And during all these travels, people were like, how many people are you? Do you have a transporter? How are you getting around so fast? And then a lady came on our Facebook and came back and said, you must be part of the Virginia Is for Lovers campaign because all you do is travel around to festivals and take pictures. So if you want to see something interesting, like us on Facebook. You'll get a serious kick out of the travels.
And you'll also get an idea of how big your district is.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger than people think. It's the size of New Jersey right now. It's about 8,800 square miles.
All right, Dirk Kitts, 9th District candidate for Congress. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.